The Rod and Staff podcast comes out of the host's passion for Christ and his church. It exists to encourage a deeper engagement with issues that pertain to doctrine and life. Check us out at rodandstaff.org. Welcome to this episode of the Rod and Staff podcast. I'm your host, Jason, along with my co-host, Roger. And in this episode, we're going to consider the topic of discipleship, Discipleship 2020, we're calling it, and thinking about it during the pandemic and otherwise. But because we're thinking of discipleship, Roger, and before we really get into our topic of discipleship for this episode, I'm going to do a little would you rather with you. Okay. So we're thinking about discipleship, and so that means learning and being trained. And so would you rather, let's say you were back in seminary days again, would you rather take preaching from Spurgeon or theology from Calvin?
Wow. That's a
choose carefully, my friend.
That's a tough one. Which part of seminary? The first time around or the second time around? First time around, preaching was rough, so I think I'd need the preaching there. And the theology. You know, I think I would do the theology with Calvin.
Good answer. I'll take that one too, my friend. So why would you do theology with Calvin, you think?
I think because, you know, when I think of just the way he thinks and all he wrote at such a young age, just understanding his mind. You know, preaching's an art and a science. And there's many different styles of preaching. And Spurgeon had his own style, you know, Prince of Preachers. Yeah. And we've read a lot, but just the mind of a thinker just really intrigues me right now.
Yeah. I like it. Good answer. I'll agree with you. I was just going to say, I wouldn't want to do preaching with Spurgeon because, you know, his exegesis wasn't very good. But if the wrong people are listening to this podcast, we're in trouble. But also in terms of Calvin, honestly, his theology it was also so doxological, so worshipful and devotional even. And he was, from what I can tell, a pretty good preacher himself. So you could learn it all from Johnny Boy versus Chuck Spurgeon, our friend. Either one would be a huge honor to take from. But I thought that'd be a fun little would you rather exercise. Well, actually, it does kind of relate to what we're talking about because we want to be thinking a little bit about discipleship and what it is, what it looks like, how we ought to be participating in it, both as leaders as well as those who are not leaders in the church, but are they being disciplers and being discipled? We hear this language a lot. So let's kind of start out with this, Roger. What is discipleship? How would you define discipleship in its basic form? And then also, what are some of the key components to discipleship?
Yeah, when I think of discipleship, it's the formation or the transformation that we're going through as believers in Christ, that we're becoming more mature followers of Christ as we're commanded in the Great Commission to make disciples, to follow and obey Christ. Paul talks about presenting others mature in Christ. Peter talks about growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. So it's a process that we're going through to become more like Christ in our life, a lifelong process.
Yeah. And I mean, a disciple is a student. Mm-hmm. And so discipleship is learning about and being like Christ. Mm-hmm. We're followers of Christ. And so if you're going to be discipling someone, in a sense, you're helping them to follow Christ. You don't want them following you, which I think is a trap that we can fall into. We want to create little disciples of our own, but really our goal is to make disciples of Christ. And Jesus says there, you know, teaching them to obey all that he's commanded. So the life of obedience is part of this discipleship as well. What are some key components? What would you say in terms of discipleship? What are some key components?
Yeah, I think like you're like even you talked about being the student, there is the learning, there is the knowledge aspect of it. So it's growing in the Word of God and in your understanding of the Word of God. It has to be there. That's the foundation of what we're pointing people toward. It's not toward what we want, but toward what God's Word says.
Absolutely.
I think that's the main component that has to be there. And then how discipleship is done, a variety of many different ways.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a one size fits all program.
If you are discipling someone, let's put it in that context for now. You're the discipler. Mm-hmm. What would you say other than trying to teach God's word or help them to understand God's word? What are some of the other things that we would be looking for and wanting to do as disciplers?
Yeah, I think looking at their life and seeing how their walk with Jesus is going, what are areas they might be struggling with that they've identified? What are areas you find in their life that you're identifying and working through those? I think every person is in a different place in their life. And so discipleship can look different. And if you're going through a program, like even in our church, we went through a book, a discipleship one-on-one, that was more of the knowledge trying to apply it, but it was very general because it doesn't know the person in front of you. Mm-hmm. So I've seen discipleship is really knowing that person I'm with and, you know, for the long haul and spending a lot of time with them working through those areas of life. And sometimes it is just the theology you're dealing with, mm-hmm. along with areas of life. I mean, how have you thought about the people you've discipled? Have you had different ways of going about it with the different people you've interacted with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you have different types of people in the church. Some who are a little more heady, and so they're maybe attracted to the theological things. And so you can start with walking with them in reading books about theology and helping them to see things, but it should never end there, obviously. And then there are some who are much less academic, perhaps. They're much less oriented in those ways. And so you find different ways to help them to see maybe the value and importance of the Word of God and deepening our knowledge of God. But I think one of the most important parts of discipleship, and this is going to, well, I'll parse it in a second, but I think that one of the most important parts is the example that we set.
Yeah.
Right. So it's living in front of people. Let them in on your life. Let them see how you do things, your flaws and everything, right? You're just living life in front of people and walking through life with others. And kind of like what Jesus was doing, he walked, they followed, they saw him. Of course, he didn't have flaws. We do. And so we're exposed. But I was thinking, I wonder in my life, I don't think I learned from the guys that I think I would consider my mentors or the guys that discipled me. I don't think I learned a lot of content, perhaps, from them. Yeah. What I learned is lifestyle. I learned heart. I learned just kind of their responses, their attitudes. That's where I learned the most from them. And I want to teach in that way too. I hope that people that I'm walking through life with and discipling are seeing my reactions, my responses. And I hope that they're godly responses, obviously. And they're learning from that or learning from my mistakes even. So setting an example, I think.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. It made me think back to when I first became a believer and was in college. And we had a college pastor who was leading us. And there were many of us in the group, you know, the huge group. But then there was a small group of us that got really close to the college pastor He knows who he is, and he better be listening to this podcast. But one of the things I learned as you talk about example that I haven't forgot to this day is his example of loving people and loving all people, regardless of if he disagreed with them. He just loved people. And it was a sincere love to really get to know people and go after them. And to pour into their life. And it's just an impactful aspect of that ministry that I remember. Like I said, I don't remember a lot of the formal sitting down learning. Right. It was more like he gave me a book to read, but it wasn't that. It was watching his life and watching how he interacted with those around him.
Yeah. It's so interesting you say that, because to me, and when I think back to one of the key mentors in my life who hates that I even call him my mentor. He absolutely hates it. So I hope he's listening to this too. What I learned by watching him was just how genuine a Christian ought to be. I mean, there was an openness, a sincerity that was so attractive to me. That he wasn't playing games. There were no gimmicks with him. Still to this day, I talk to him almost once a week still. There are no gimmicks. He's just who he is. And there's a sincerity and a genuine, and I love that. And I desire to be that way, even though I don't think I've arrived there the way he is. I really don't. But one of the reasons that example and setting an example kind of jumps out at me is, that's something I think a lot of people are terrified to try to disciple others. They're afraid, and they come and tell me, well, I don't have the right, what do I use? I don't know the Bible that well. And, I don't know theology that well. And, there's all this thing. And so that's why I'm grateful that we have that book that we've been using as a church lately, the partner to partner stuff. But I want people to understand that even more than that content, which they're going to get Sunday mornings from the preaching of the word, from the pulpit, and hopefully from other Bible studies too, what they're going to get from you, if you're going to take on that role of mentoring and discipling and helping others to follow Jesus, they're going to get the life. They're going to watch the spirit-filled living occur in real time. And that's important. I was reading somewhere about discipleship. What does it look like? It looks like letting someone come mow the lawn with you so they see how you do work at home. It's someone else talking about opening your home to letting them come into your family worship time so they see how you treat your kids and your wife. They're seeing the sanctification process in your life taking place, and they're learning just by watching even.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, there's a lot of that influencing that we have upon each other. And even if it's not formally discipling, we are influencing each other all the time. When you formalize it or spend more time with a person, then it becomes more impactful.
So what would you say? What would be formal or informal, but what are some things that we can do if we're trying to help others follow Jesus? What can we do with them?
I look at it as I want to point people back to Christ. I want to point people back to his word. I don't want them to be dependent upon me. So I look at it as, if you're becoming dependent upon me and you think I have all the answers, I'm leading you astray. I'm just, one who's being discipled by the Lord myself, and I want to help you connect back with the Lord. So how that looks could be different, but discussing his word and helping somebody become more dependent on Christ, I think, is important, because like you're saying, you're not trying to create duplicates of yourself or, clone yourself. You want them to follow Christ. And that's the hardest part, is to help people, push people back to the Lord and back to his word and what the word says. I don't have all the answers or all the wisdom. I have some wisdom that the Lord, gives all of us, and we pray for it, but ultimately, you have to have that close relationship. I think that's the most important thing, is all of us need to be growing in our relationship with the Lord, and having that that depth with the Lord, because friends come and go, mentors come and go.
That's right.
But the Lord is with us our entire lives.
Yeah. Yeah. And pointing them to the Word, and showing them kind of a humility as you handle the Word is important too. You know, one of the things I've noticed, so we sit down and do these one-on-ones and work through some of these chapters in that book. And yeah. What's been exciting to me at times, in all honesty, is when a great question is asked, an insightful question is asked back to me, and I don't have a great answer. And I go, yeah. Hey, let's search it together. Let's think about this. Let's talk about God's Word, because the authority is God's Word, not Jason. I mean, Roger might be the authority, but not Jason. No. But it's God's Word is the authority, and helping people to submit to the Word of God.
Yeah.
And when they watch how we handle it, and how the role it plays in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's convicting, because as you're trying to help others to grow in Christ, it's causing you to grow.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. What are some obstacles to discipleship in general, and then also maybe particularly now during this pandemic?
I think in general, it's the time and finding the opportunities to consistently meet with somebody. I think when you're walking with somebody, if you're not intentional with your time and making it a priority, and it's inconsistent, it's not going to help that person grow. It's going to be kind of a distant relationship. I think some of the obstacles is just finding the time to work with somebody and to have a good pattern with a person, whether you're meeting with them every couple of weeks or once a month. You know, having something regular is important. We live in a very, you know, I don't like this word anymore, this very busy lifestyle. So everybody's busy. And let's get rid of the word busy. We know we're all busy. We need something better to say, you know.
Cluttered.
Yeah. We're disorganized in a lot of different ways. But but I think, you know, there's other areas. I mean, our sin gets in the way. You know, we're resistant to wanting to listen to others. We all want to have all the answers and know what to do. And maybe we're resistant to listen to another person. That could be an obstacle that happens in that relationship. Or vulnerability and being open with that other person. You know, if you're not going to be open and be able to deal with things, then that's not going to help you grow either.
That's good. That's true. I was thinking, hey, look, we have time for the things that we want to have time for.
Yeah. Yep.
And there is a sacrifice in loving the church family enough to invest in other church family members. There is a sacrifice. It takes our time. Mm-hmm. But if we see the value in it, and if we see the impact of it, we have to realize there is, I mean, think about Paul's relationship to Timothy.
Yeah.
Paul's relationship to Titus even. And you see these relationships that were so effective in shaping the younger brother or sister. We see Titus too, the call for older women to teach and invest in younger women. This is part of who we are supposed to be as the local body of Christ. And I know, I feel like the obstacle, to be honest, one of the biggest obstacles is that people are intimidated by it.
Hmm. Is it because we make it too complex?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I'm guilty of it, because people come and say, well, how can I disciple? And I go, well, let me think about it and get a book for you or something like that. Whereas I should just say, and lately I've been trying to say, just go hang out with them and talk to them openly about the Word of God. It's not, you know, rocket science.
Yep.
You want to just open up scripture and read a little together and talk about it. That's perfect.
Yeah.
And we complicate things and people are intimidated because we complicate it. That's a good point you make. Yeah. We complicate things. What other obstacles do you see? Cause there's gotta be, you know, I think people feel ill-equipped, which is untrue. You're a believer. Yeah. You're equipped. The Spirit's in you. You're born again.
I think, what about even the goals? What is the goal of our discipleship? If we have unrealistic goals and we think that, you know, we're going to finish this process and finally be totally mature, have no struggles with any sin or no problems in life, then.
And then you could go disciple someone else yourself now because you've arrived, because that's what discipleship is.
Exactly. Yeah. You think you have it all together and, and that person is the one who's supposed to be discipling others. Or even, you know, when you talk about being qualified, you know, if you're in a church where you have people who have seminary degrees and have been educated, they're very intimidated if they haven't had that and think, well, what do I have to offer?
Yeah.
You know, without thinking, well, that's making it complex again. It's not about having all the answers. It's about being intentional to meet and grow with another person.
Absolutely. And that just the investment of spending time together talking about the things of God, because one of the obstacles I think is breaking the ice and talking about spiritual things with others. I hate to say it, but all I generally hear and probably participate in myself after church on Sundays, superficial talk.
Yeah.
You know, or political talk, or how's the weather talk. And so we have to be even more intentional. What a glorious thing when someone says, hey, can we, let's pray together. Or, hey, you know, I was reading this passage. What do you think about it? Or, you know what, I've got this dilemma and I want wisdom as to how to walk in the light in this particular case. And so discipleship, or that kind of relationship where we're helping others walk with Jesus, is not complex. It's just kind of very natural outflow of who we are as Christians, which is why I like the idea that some said, you know, bring them into your home, let them just see how you're living. You know, but of course I like what you said too, is it's always supposed to be pointing them to Christ. And the best way to do that is to point them to the Word, obviously as well.
So, yeah. How do you think we even utilize, you know, we're in this pandemic time. And so it's even harder now in a sense that we can't meet at a coffee shop per se as easily as we could before. Can't be in each other's homes as much, or, you know, we're taking a little distance physically from people, although we still want to meet and try to be around people, you know. I guess thinking through, well, how can we then be intentional in this time? You know, I think of your three steps, which you keep telling us every week to do and keep pushing us toward, because you're pushing us toward being intentional with one another.
Yeah.
And when you think of that, that even that contributes to the discipleship of another person.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, by the way, for those listeners that aren't from our church and don't know what the three steps are, we every week now in a modified form, we say passage, pass it along, and pray. And that means as you're reading the Word and studying the Word each week, something that stands out to you as an encouragement, that passage, just pass it along. Don't keep it to yourself. So email it to someone, text it to someone, call someone and talk to them about it. And then while you're talking to them about that, you know, find out what you can pray for them and pray for each other. But I think that intentionality that you're talking about, it can be done. Look, there's something hard and then something easier about this pandemic time. Zoom is hard in some ways, but you know what it's done for us? It's cut the commute.
Oh yeah.
Right. And in living in Los Angeles, we commute. That's what we do. And now we have saved literally an hour each way. So we don't have to do that. So that saves time. Schedule it. We can even go a little bit later than we used to do in-person meetings, because we don't, you know, we turn off the computer and hop into bed. You know, I might actually still be in my pajamas. You don't know. So I think we just be intentional and schedule things and yeah, do our best.
Yeah, that's really true with the Zoom. I just think of that is you don't have the excuse of, I got to get to church. Because I think of where I live and where all of our church members live. I'm like, we're not close to each other. We really have to work at coming together either during the midweek Bible study or other times that, we just get on a Zoom, and I've had more Zoom calls with people, checking up on people, and it's been very convenient to use.
Yeah.
And it allows for a time of connection and to still know what's going on in that person's life.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it's easy. I know there's an awkwardness at first when you start meeting with someone who you don't know very well. There's an awkwardness. How do I do this? Do we just jump into a scripture? You know, what do we do? And honestly, there's no biblical passage that says it's exactly this way.
Yeah.
It just says go and make disciples, and it talks about one anothering, and this is just another way. And we're giving possibilities, different ways that it can be done, some strategies that have worked for people. But there is no, this is the absolute right way, this is the absolute wrong way, or anything like that. And so I think we just go do it, and you'll learn too, and you'll come and teach us. At least those that are in our church, and if those you're listening and you're not at our church, you can email us and give us good ideas, because we'd love those ideas too. Well, as we're wrapping up, I know there's always more to talk about. And in terms of resources, by the way, there's some great stuff you can find at Nine Marks Ministry. They've got great stuff on discipleship and other places too. I think I saw some other articles by Desiring God and other groups too. But there's resources out there. But Roger, as we're wrapping up, what's a takeaway and something you want to think more about on this topic?
I think thinking through how to get rid of the obstacles, not making excuses and helping others not make excuses for it, but also helping people be confident that you can. Yeah. As simple as just open your Bible and read some scripture with another person. Pray over that passage, discuss it, get a book you can read together, just simplify the process, and you'll be encouraged, they'll be encouraged, and you'll sharpen one another. Could go a long way in just being intentional with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say the one takeaway for me, and also it's something I want to think more about and work on developing, it's the same thing you brought up. Goals, you know, what's our goal in this? And if we have this false idea that the goal is arriving, no one's going to want a disciple or be discipled.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really helpful and wise point. Let's understand the goal is simply each day to grow in Christ and to walk with mm-hmm. Jesus together and encourage each other to be obedient to his commands, to pursue him more. With no arrival except one day in glory. And it's something that we can all continue to be discipled. And sometimes we're discipled by reading the books that we're reading, you know, just because the person has passed on. You know, I was joking about how the Spurgeon and Calvin classes would be and which one would be better at the beginning. But honestly, in some ways, they're discipling us as we read them. Yeah. And we think about what they've done and written. Biographies are great for that reason. I love reading biographies for that very reason. So there's different ways. Great conversation, great topic. And so there's more to be discussed. I hope that you enjoyed this brief conversation that we had. And God bless. Hope you join us again the next time.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Rod and Staff Podcast, please subscribe and share with others. For more information or to contact the host with questions or comments, please send email correspondence to feedback@rodnstaff.org. That is feedback@rod, the letter N, staff.org.